Please turn to John chapter 8 and verse 12. We will be in the Gospel of John for most or all of this message this morning as we consider the topic, From Whence He Came. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus came. And thank you that you sent him. I pray that you would help us to learn some lesson for ourselves and our relationship and our service to Christ from the things we look at in your word today. May your Holy Spirit guide us into this truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came. Whence, that's a good Middle English word. From the 1200s, back in the 1200s, the word whence was spelled W-H-E-N-N-E-S. A little different spelling. Spellings tend to change over the years in language. Even though the word begins with W-H-E-N, which is the word when, the word whence is not a time word. It's a place word. I know from whence I came would be the same for us today to say, I know where I came from. Jesus knew where he came from. Does it matter where he came from? The baby in the manger has been used to symbolize many things. To us who know God and who know the Savior, it should symbolize the arrival of one on a journey with a mission. Some people are fascinated by the fictional story of Superman, a being who came to Earth from a faraway place with supernatural powers, who finds a mission on Earth in saving mankind from evil. Well, Jesus did come from a faraway place. And he not only has supernatural powers, he has almighty powers. And he is not an alien from another planet. He is from far beyond that. He is God who became a man and came to earth with a purpose. And that purpose was twofold. First, to convince mankind that God is. And secondly, to save mankind from their sins. Our study today is basically a word study on the word sent, S-E-N-T, in the Gospel of John. And so you will see that word frequently as we look in the Gospel of John today. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down from heaven. So where is heaven? My understanding is that heaven is beyond the universe, that the universe is actually a finite space. I know it's big, but finite in the sense that it's not infinite without end. It is a box, and there is something beyond the universe. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul refers to the third heaven as the place where God abodes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 8 refers to the firmament or the earth's atmosphere as heaven. If the earth's atmosphere is heaven, that would be the first heaven. That's the closest to the earth. And if God's abode is the third heaven, that means the universe, the place of all the stars and the planets, in between is the second heaven. Heaven, where God dwells, is beyond the universe. That's where Jesus came from, beyond the universe, not from another planet. He came from beyond the universe. And he declared that he came not only from heaven, but he came from God the Father. John chapter 7, verse 28. John chapter 7, verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." John chapter 16, verse 27. John chapter 16, verse 27. "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." I believe that these statements in chapter 7, verse 29, I am from him, and here in chapter 16, verse 27, I came out from God, and verse 28, I came from the Father, that this is a confirmation of the deity of Jesus Christ. The place he came from is the person of the Godhead. He came from heaven, and he came from God, the Father. He is in, with, united to, thought it not robbery to be equal with, God the Father. He is a member of the Godhead. He is God. He came from God. This is an affirmation of his deity. The place he came from is God himself, because he is God. I know it's maybe a little hard to understand. How do you have one God and three persons, and they act separately, but they're all one? And we don't try to understand all of that, because it's a little beyond our thinking. But he says he came out from God. I came from the Father. Not just from the Father's presence, which is impressive enough, but from his union with the Father in the Godhead. Jesus says, "I'm here on official business. I am come from the Father, and it is not just that the Father sent me, but that he and the Father are one." John 10:30, "I and my Father are one, and he that has seen me hath seen the Father." Not just that Jesus is a servant of the Father, he is equally God himself and can even be called Father. Remember in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That's obviously referring to Jesus, correct? The Son is given. And it says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." What's the next one? The Everlasting Father. The Son shall be known by the name, the Everlasting Father. Isn't that interesting? He came from the Father. He came as God, because he is God and equal with God. and on a mission. He compared himself to the manna of the wilderness. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 49. I am that bread of life. Am I in the right place? John chapter 6, verse 49. 48. Oh, I read 48. Now we go to 49. Thank you. Your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So there was manna. God provided. It came down from heaven. Man ate it on a daily basis. But all of those people that were there in the wilderness are now physically dead. But he says, I am that bread of life that has come down from heaven. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he eateth me, he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live. So he came from heaven. He came from God. He came as the living bread to give life. No less than 40 times in the Gospel of John does it say, in one way or another, that the Father sent the Son. In John chapter 5, numerous times in that one chapter. Verse 23, the Father which hath sent me. Verse 24, believeth on him that sent me. John 5, verse 30, the will of the Father which hath sent me. Over and over again, Jesus refers to God sending him. He sent him on a mission. And the first part of that mission, as I indicated earlier, was to convince people that God is. Why is that? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the first part of faith is to believe that God is. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6? But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So look in John chapter 11 and verse 42. John chapter 11, verse 42. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Chapter 12, verse 44. Chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Chapter 13, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And finally, in chapter 17 and verse 3. Chapter 17 and verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God the Father came that everyone would know that God is. God is God the Father is the one who sent me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. He came to make sure people believe that God is. That is the important first step to believing the gospel. If you don't believe that God is, the gospel doesn't make sense beyond that. Imagine God's frustration today with all of mankind's efforts to send messages out into outer space to try to find life in other places. Did you know that's a primary mission of NASA? It is. Here's an article entitled, Signs of Alien Life Will Be Found by 2025. NASA's chief scientists predict. It's written by Mike Wall. It was written back 5 years ago in 2015. He says, humanity is on the verge of discovering alien life, high-ranking NASA scientists say. We know where to look. We know how to look. Hunting for evidence of alien life is a much trickier proposition than identifying potentially habitable environments, but researchers are working steadily toward that more involved and ambitious goal. Why do they want to find life on other planets? Because it would disprove what the Bible teaches. It would substantiate evolution. They're planning to send a spaceship to one of Jupiter's orbiting moons because they're convinced there's potential life there. It costs a lot of money to make all those spaceships and send them out there and all the technology that's involved. They're desperate to find life in other places. These people are not looking for God. They're not looking for evidence that God exists. They're looking for evidence to support the fact that God doesn't exist because they don't want to admit that God is. Once you admit that God is, everything changes. And Jesus came, first of all, to convince everyone that God is. The Father sent me. Once you believe that God is, then you can believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the last part of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And what is that great reward of God? It is righteousness that produces eternal life because we've trusted in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 17. John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 5 and verse 24. 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. God the Father sent the Son. The Son came on this mission. Convince everyone that God is, and provide the means of salvation. So what does this have to do with us? What is the lesson we can get from this? We who are believers. If you're not a believer, then we encourage you to believe that God is and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. But for us who already understand this truth, there's another dimension. John chapter 17 and verse 18. John chapter 17 and verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. In exactly the same way that God the Father sent the Son has sent us. We are sent ones, and we have a mission. And our mission is exactly what Jesus Christ's mission was, because we are the body of Christ in this world. His mission is still the same, and his mission is to be fulfilled through us. Number one, convince everyone that God is. And number two, convince everyone that Jesus Christ is the means of salvation. John chapter 13 and verse 20. What Jesus did is what we are to be doing. So in John chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me." He has sent us, not so that people would receive us as something special, but in receiving our message, they would receive Christ. As Christ came to communicate the Father, the source, we are to communicate the Son, the Savior, as the source of our witness. Jesus did various things to define his mission, and these are the same things that should define our mission as he sends us. Number one, John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." We can take that principle and apply it directly to our own lives. What is the substance of our life as a Christian? It is to do the will of him that sent us. What is his will for our lives? Jesus says to the Father, "As you send me, I sent them." We are the ones he sent. We have a mission. The substance of our lives should be to do whatever he wants us to do. That we should pursue his will for our lives and not our own. One of the things that has been interesting to me in more recent years is young people, when they graduate from high school, fewer and fewer of them know exactly what they want to do after they graduate. When I graduated from high school, they posted a board with what every senior in the class was going to do, and there were 269 in the class, and almost every one of the seniors had an objective. They knew what they were going to do. Today, so many young people don't know what they're going to do. They take interdisciplinary studies in college, if they go to college, or whatever. Not sure what they want to do. I think there are a lot of Christians that kind of flounder. What is the purpose of my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? It's very simple. You do what the Savior wants you to do. He saved you and he sent you. And he has a will. And he has provided us the means to discern what that will is. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove, discern, understand, figure out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He has a will for us, a perfect will for us. And the substance of our lives ought to be to do whatever God wants me to do. As simple as that. Number two, John chapter 5 and verse 36. John chapter 5 and verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The works that I do bear witness that the Father hath sent me. Do the things we do communicate to other people that we are on a mission for Christ? Or is our objective to draw attention to ourselves? Now, we're talking in-house here for a moment. You know, even inside the church, there are a lot of people, Christians, who can do things for personal attention rather than the glory of God. We don't clap for things here. Why? Because it's not about the performance of the person. It's about the attention we're drawing to God through what we do. And that should be the definition of our entire life. What we do actually points to the one who sent us. So that it is evident we are not here on our own mission. We're on a mission for him. John chapter 6 and verse 57. John chapter 6 and verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even shall he live by me. Do we live by the life of Christ on a daily basis? They say you are what you eat. If you load your body up with sugar, will that have an effect on you? Especially children, you give them too much sugar, what happens? Ah, you get hyper. If you eat healthy, they say you'll be healthy. You are what you eat. Is our spiritual life healthy because we are partaking of the life of Christ on a daily basis? Or are we ignoring the life of Christ by not spending sufficient time in the Word of God? That's where it comes from. This is our nutrition. You know, the Bible's talked about, it talks about itself as milk and meat. This is where that substance of spiritual life will come from. You are what you eat. The more you eat of this book, the more you will exemplify the life of Christ in your living daily. The less you eat of this book, the less it'll be noticeable that you belong to Jesus Christ. Chapter 7 and verse 16. Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. What are the things that we talk about when we talk to other people? Even when we witness, do we use our own words or do we use God's words? Does it sound like this is my thoughts, or are we communicating that these are God's thoughts? Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And the same should be true of us. Our message is not from ourselves. We didn't make it up. Our message is from God. And we need to make sure that when we are witnessing and we're talking to others about the things of the Lord, that we're using his words, his language, his thoughts, and communicate that it's his message and not our own. Chapter 8 and verse 16. Chapter 8 and verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. This is really an important one to understand. We're not alone. Even if you're by yourself, you're not alone, because the Lord is with you. You can talk to him. Talk to him just like you talk to any other person. He is a person. I like to refer to it at times as conversational prayer. You know, we have ritual prayer where we get in our closet, we bow our heads, we fold our hands, we close our eyes, we pray through our lists. But you know, you can talk to him conversationally all day long. To have a sense of his presence, to have a sense of a relationship with him all day long. Sure, there's value in getting in your closet, as Jesus instructed, get in your closet and have that special quiet time. But there's also value in having a sense of the perpetual presence of God in your life, where you can commune with him and converse with him at any time, even in a casual way. You're not alone. In chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Do you have a sense of urgency? I must do the will of him that sent me. I don't have a choice. Sometimes young men trying to figure out whether or not God has called them to preach. I had someone say this to me, an older preacher say this to me when I was a young man, and I've said it to other young men. If you can do anything else, do it. Why do I say that? Because you have to have a calling to do this. I've seen men try to be preachers that don't have a calling. And it becomes very flesh oriented. There has to be a necessity. What did the Apostle Paul say? Necessity is laid upon me. I have to do this. I can't get out of it because it's my calling. And each and every one of us, in this idea of being sent by Christ, should have the same sense of necessity. I belong to Jesus Christ. He has sent me into this world. There is a necessity about my life to do the work that He has called me to do. I want to know what His will is. I want to know what my mission is. I want to do the mission that He has given to me. I have this necessity. I must do the work that He has given me to do. When Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, He arrived with a purpose. He said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, I do always those things that please Him, the Father. He said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And He said in John chapter 6 and verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me. This is the real message and meaning of Christmas. Christ came from heaven and out of God with a mission. A mission to convince the world that God is, and that salvation is provided through Him. May this be our purpose as the sent ones of Christ, that we do always those things which please Him, and that whoever would see us would see Christ through us. As Christ's presence here on earth so many years ago was intended to direct glory to the Father, may our presence in this world today direct glory to our Savior, that many through us may believe and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the mission that Jesus Christ came to earth to do. Thank You for the example of all the elements of that mission. And thank You now that He has sent us on a very similar mission. Help us to learn from what He did while He was on earth, that while we are still here, we may fulfill Christ's mission through our lives as the sent ones of the Savior. And may our lives bring glory to Your name. May we lead many to understand that You really are God and that Jesus Christ really is the Savior of the world. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.